Peace of Christ with you, saints. I'm so happy and honored to be here. Not just because we are gathered all together and we're from different nations or we are a big number or something, but I'm honored and privileged because we are in the midst of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope all of us, we are rejoiced to be in His presence and to hear what He has for us today. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the grace, mercy, and love to have another day to live. I pray, O Lord, that this day and every day of our life, we will live it for you. Because there is nothing better to live for. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will look on things above in this day and for the rest of our lives. I pray for your fresh anointing upon me, Lord. I pray that the word that your Holy Spirit have given me to share with my brothers and sisters, the same Holy Spirit will lead my words while I'll be talking, Lord Jesus. I pray that no man will be glorified because I am just dust which you gave me life. May I be just a voice, an instrument of yours in your hands to share what you have from us. I thank you that your word is alive, is changing and transforming, and it has changed my heart and life, and I pray that today it will change it in a new way. I pray that it will change each of us in a new way, and it will remind us of who Christ is, of who we are in Christ, that He is our hope. In your name, Jesus Christ, I pray for the glory of the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The passage which God has put in my heart to share today is from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Before we read from the Word of God, I just want to give in a new way the understanding of from where we are reading, from who this God is. So we are in Skopje, and Skopje is just a small part of Macedonia. There are other cities in Macedonia. And Macedonia is just part of the Balkans. And the Balkans are just part of Europe. It's just a small point somewhere there in Europe. And Europe is one of the continents in the whole world. So the world, the earth, is one of the planets in the galaxy. So the God who created all of this, the God who created the stars, the sky, the God who created the sun and the moon and all of us, He is here in our midst. He have written this book through His servants. And I'm always encouraged and challenged when I read from Nehemiah and the prophet Ezra, when he handed the book, the scriptures, and he, even without starting to read, all the people, they were saying amen and hallelujah. They were trembling in fear. They had such a privilege. They were honored to hear from the word of God. They were so excited to hear. And I want just to remind us today that it's a privilege to hear from this word. This word is alive. This word is transforming and changing lives even if thousands of years have passed. And this God is here with His presence. The theme of Colossians is the glory of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We see all over in Colossians that it talks about being dead to ourself, to our flesh, to our old nature, and having a new life in Christ, and wearing a new person in Christ, giving up from the old things. And it talks about being dead and wearing these new things which we have in Christ. And we will be reading from this passage where the Word of God says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And it's so interesting that before we start talking about these verses and understanding these verses better, we need to understand what Paul was talking before in the early chapters. And just in chapter 2, he was talking all the time about being dead to ourselves. He mentions this many times. So in all chapter 2, he's saying to kill our old us, to be dead to ourselves, and he's saying to wear a Christ. And in the first verse, it started, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Since then. So now, we have died, but we are risen with Christ. So there is no life without dying. And I want to talk a bit about this death. Like when Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, he was crucified and he died, he took our place upon the cross. He didn't die 70%. He didn't die 60%. He didn't die 50%. He died 100%. And I want to tell you in some way to understand that there is nothing as such as dying 20% or dying 30%. When you are dead, you are dead. 100%, you are dead. So I want us to understand that when Christ is calling us to die to ourselves, when we truly believe in Jesus Christ and we repent for our sins and we believe that He took our place, He died for us, we believe in a death 100%. Jesus Christ is not negotiating. He's not telling you, it's fine, just give up on some things, you know, when you were in your old life, and keep some other stuff, it's fine, you know. You can stay in the new life, you can stay in me, but you can keep this stuff from your old you also. No. He's telling us to die 100%. Like for the things that we were, the things that we desired, the things that we wanted, and gave us pleasure, and were haters to God, now we give up 100%. Now we kill them 100%. Now we hate these things. So, since then, you have been raised with Christ. And the words and the verses which will continue and will encourage us to be in Christ, and will encourage us to continue this battle, are after he talks that we are dead. We are dead to ourselves. You have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. It's very interesting that here it mentions set your minds and set your hearts. It's talking about set our minds and setting our hearts in things above. Not only things of this earth, but on the things that are above where Christ is. So it's interesting when I say that it's mentioned mind and heart, because we see in other scriptures, in the Old Testament and in the New One, that it's always mentioned. You know, like the mind, the heart, love your God with all your heart. You know, think of this words all the time. So I want to understand this minds and hearts putting together in life. When we read in verse 4, which we'll read it again, and that's the theme, there we will refocus, which Christ is your life, we're talking about life. There is no life without a heart. If our heart doesn't beat, there can't be life. And if we don't have a mind, our body wouldn't function. There is no life anyway. So these things are put together in life. I really like when Paul talks about this, that Christ, who is your life, it includes everything. So I want today us to think, for us today to think that, is really our mind fully on Christ? Is really our mind fully on the things that are above? Like when you get up in the morning, which is the first thought you have? Is the first thought you have that today I have a new day to live? Thank you, Jesus. Today I have a new day and I want to live it for Jesus Christ. Today I have a new day and I want to think about Him. Today I have a new day and I want to read His Word. Today I have a new day and I want to talk to people about Christ. Today I have a new day and I want to talk to people that He's the Savior. He is the Healer. All these thoughts in your mind, all the things that are not about this world, are not about you, but are about Christ and the heavenly treasure. Which are your thoughts? How much of your mind and thoughts are upon things which are above? Upon things which are about Christ? About things that are of the life in Christ which we have? How many of the things which are in your heart, your desires, your passion, the things that you have inside you which motivate you to do things, which motivate you to continue your day, motivate you to continue in your life, how much of that is Christ in your heart? And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, Christ doesn't negotiate. He doesn't want us to have Him part of our heart. He doesn't want us to have Him just in the first place of our heart, but there is a bunch of other stuff which will win with number, which are in our hearts. He wants our whole heart. Amen? He wants our whole heart. And what should encourage us and challenge us is verses, is verse 3 and 4. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So Christ appearing, Christ who is our life, will come soon. Because if we believe in the Bible, if we believe what we have preached, the gospel doesn't end. Christ was crucified for our sins, and He rose again the third day, and that's it, and you continue the nice life, and you just heard this, and okay, it's nice, this love is so wonderful, I want it, I want the cross, this takes me to heaven, and I want it, but I want my life. I want also the same life I had. That's not the gospel. The gospel continues. The gospel continues and says that Christ was lifted up, and He went in glory, and He is in the right hand of the Father. And the gospel continues saying that He'll come back. And if Peter and Paul and James and others, they were saying that we are in the last times. And the time is up. The time is coming where Christ will come. How much more for us? How much closer we are of this glorious moment. Of this glorious moment that when Christ will come, your life, my life, our life will be raised with Him. Because brothers and sisters, this is not our life. What you see around you is not your life. This building, these things, the music, the instruments, the money, the cars, the houses, the work, the friends, the city, the nice things that man created, this is not our life. These are earthly things to keep, to use for the moment. Nothing else. This will go away, this will be destroyed, and we'll have a new earth and a new sky. This is not our life. This is momentary, we are passing. This is not our life. So I want us to remind again, it's not that you don't know these things, it's not that I don't know these things, but we have something in our human nature that we forget so easily. We forget so easily. We get so easily comfortable in our life, comfortable in the things that we have, comfortable in what we see around. And let me tell you, those things should be crucified. Those things should be dead. The things that are in verse 5, we don't want to be like that. The things that are from verse 5 to 9, that's our old us. We don't want to be like that. You don't want to be like verse 5. You want to remain to verse 4, where Christ is your life, where Christ is our life. Not to remain in verse 5, which is the old us. I want to just say something that I hope you agree. I believe everyone who is in the Spirit and everyone who really cries out to God and has a continual relationship with Lord Jesus Christ sees this is the situation now in the world, in churches. There are some great things happening today in the world. Some people really preaching the gospel, and in some countries really the gospel is advancing and Christ is being proclaimed, but also in many countries people are shaming Christ. They are shaming Christ. Like, you hear of all the kinds of easy doctrines, and you hear all of the worldly things coming into the church. Instead of the church impacting the world is impacting the church, and all these things in entertainments and all these worldly things are coming in into the church, and the believers, they have no difference from the world. They are the same. There is no difference between them, and they are going to church, and they have made like church or evangelical movement, if you can call it, they have made this another religion. It's just going to church Sunday and going sometimes during the week if you do those things, and you say to people, I'm a Christian. But there is no difference between you and the people from the world. There is no difference in you. There is no being born again. There is no changing. There is no hatred for sin. There is no love for holiness. And I started understanding this more by God's grace when He called me and I started preaching the gospel. And I was preaching the gospel everywhere. God gave me the grace to go in different nations also. And I started preaching the gospel. And it was so interesting. I was preaching the gospel to these people. And they were to church. And they were saying that, Christ, you are my life. Jesus, you are everything I have. I love you. They were singing some nice songs. And they were doing all these things. And they were listening from the word. And they were hugging with each other. And they were shaking hands and saying, oh, my brother, my sister. And they were saying all these things. But I saw the same people outside of the church, which they were different. I saw the same people lying. I saw the same people in pubs with immorality and everything around. I saw the same people talking dirty stuff. I saw the same people living as the world does. And I said, Christ, what's going on? Christ, what's happening? What's happening? How is this possible? And I thought of that as CIA agents. You know, like, these guys were better than CIA agents. They had an identity in church. If you saw these guys, you'd really think these guys are, you know, true believers, very strong. And they have this identity in church. And they would sing these things. They would talk about these things, about biblical things. And after, the same guys outside of the church, they were different. Totally different, another identity. And I was so sad and broken in my heart. And let me tell you, I've been in years in my knees before God, telling Him, I don't want to be an hypocrite. Stay in my knees crying, and I say, God, if I will be an hypocrite, take me now. If I will shame your name, take me now. I don't want to go to church and make another religion. I don't want to go to church and say you are my life, and after I go outside and I do the same things. I don't want to go to church and say Christ is all I have, and when I go outside of the church during my day, he's not there. I give no time to him. I don't mention his name. I don't talk to him. I don't read his word. And I believe each of us, in some ways, we need to meditate. We need to meditate. If we say that Christ is our life, then just think about a moment what we are saying. Christ is my life. So I believe when something is your life, usually this is a compliment, I guess, I've heard, which the husband tells to the wife, oh, you are my life, I love you so much. I believe when something like this is said, you are meaning with other words, everything I have, everything is in me, is yours. Everything I have and everything is me, I want to share it with you. My time, I want to spend it with you. I believe that you can't say to someone, you are my life, and you don't spend time with this person in your life. When he's a little part of your life in the time that you spend to him, with him. And so many times I think of Jesus when he was having time alone with God and praying, and yeah, when many preachers preach that he was spending so much time, and he was in the mountain, he was in the hill, and he was in a garden, and he was in isolated places. Many preachers say that this was the reason why he had such an anointing. This was the reason why he had such a power of the Holy Spirit moving through him. Because he truly had a relationship with God, and he was asking for power and dedication and perseverance. Yes, that's definitely part of it. But haven't we thought also that the reason why Jesus spent so much time with the Father was because he loved him? Was because he wanted to stay with the Father? Was because he said, Father, my life is yours. And he wanted to have time with the Father. And I believe if you love someone, you'll spend time with that person. So I want us to reflect and meditate that the life around us to not make us conform to the image of this world. So I want us to be reminded of, if we're saying that Christ is our life, how part of our daily life he is. How much time in your day you say that this is the time that I have just with you, Christ. This is the best time of my day, and it doesn't matter how busy I am, it doesn't matter what I do. You are my life. I want to give you my time, everything I have. Martin Luther said that today I am so busy, I have so many things to do, I haven't been busy in a long time like this, that today I need to pray 3 hours. And after you pray and you spend time with Christ, because he is your life, because you want to talk to him. You want to talk to him about the burdens of your heart. You want to talk to him about what is going around and for him to move. You want to talk to him because who is a better person to talk with? He is our best friend. You pray because you want to bring before his throne everything what is going on in your life. If you have troubles, if you need something, you talk to him. Because he is your life. He is part of your life. But also you want to hear from him. And he has talked to us through his word. He talks in different ways. He talks to us through dreams and visions. And he talks to us inside through the Spirit. But he talks to us in a living way daily also through his word. So if Christ is your life, you will dedicate time to him to hear from him. You dedicate time to hear God, what you have for me today. If you are my life, I can't say you are my life if I don't read and hear what you have for me today. There is nothing as such as today you are my life and tomorrow you are not my life. 1 week you are my life and 1 month you are not my life. Today I am busy and tomorrow I am free, so tomorrow you are my life, but today you are not. There is nothing as such. Christianity, being a Christian, a follower of Christ, is the most beautiful thing you can ever have. But it's also the most difficult and challenging thing you will have. It will not be easy. There will be struggles, there will be battles, there will be attacks in your life. There will be a lot of things going on if you stay firm in Christ and you stay strong in Him. And what it says in verse 3, it says, "For you died and your life is hidden now with Christ in God." You died. You died. Brother and sister, Dardayan is dead. I am dead. My desires, my flesh, my passions, the things that I wanted once, which they are described in verse 5 and on, the things that we see in this world, they are dead. And the point is, we have no more life of our own. Our life is Christ. It belongs to Him. He is our life. Our life is in Him. If we want to stay in Christ and have a life with Him, in Him, our life doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to us. It's not ours. It's of Christ. He won that 2,000 years ago with His blood in the cross. So we had a life in immorality and in ambitions and in these desires of this world and, you know, never-ending television and internet and filthy things and silly things, but the point is, now those things, if we are in Christ, have nothing to do with us. We need to put those things away and stay in Christ, who is our life, and look on things above. And this is so interesting, look on things above. I will talk a bit about what are these things above, but I want to talk more of who is above. Christ. More than the things above, we need to think of who is above, is Christ. So with other words, Paul is saying here that don't look of what you see around. Everything that you have around will not last. Everything that you have around will give a momentary pleasure. Everything that you have around is not worth to live for. Everything that this things in verse 5 and in other verses describe that you can read home more are not worth to live for. He's saying Christ is our life. He who will appear, He who will come and will be in glory with Him in eternity. He hath prepared a place for us in heaven and will be always with Him. So He's telling you, take away your mind from distraction. Take away of what you're looking and spending your time. Take away of what you're wasting time of your life. Don't look at those things. Don't taste those things. Don't touch the unclean thing. He's telling you to look upon the things which are above. To think about these things. To desire these things. To love these things. He's telling you to have as a center Jesus Christ. He's telling you to have the life which is eternal. He's telling you to have the life which will be the saints of all the ages. We will be the angels. We will be rejoicing. We will be in a place which there is no more sorrow. There is no more crying. There is no more pain. There is no more diseases. There is no more destruction. There is no more death. We will be in a place with Christ in eternity. In a place which you can't describe and I can't either. In a place which is beyond understanding. In a place where the fullness of God is. In a place where the fullness of His presence is. He's telling you to look at these things. He's telling you to collect a treasure which is eternal. and not to look of the things that are in this earth. He's telling you to crucify your old you. So there is that death which Christ did for us. He died for us. He took our place. But you say, oh, then why I have temptations? Why I have challenges? Why I have these struggles? Why verse 5, these things in verse 5, in other verses, they come to me? Why they come and they tempt me again? Why they come to my mind? Why still my flesh has desires? Why still I want these earthly things? Why still I want to have these things in my life? Why then I'm not truly free from these things? The answer is because we are still in a battle. The answer is because we are still in this world. We are not part of this world. We are not from this world, but we are living in this world. The answer is that it is a continued battle. It's a continued battle of the old us wanting to take over of the devil, which all the costs he wants to bring the old us back. Our friends, our old friends, which are not in Christ, they want our old us back. So many times my friend tell me in Albania, we want the old Darda. Where is he? We had so much fun. We did all this stuff. Where is he? They say, like, what did you become? They want the old me back. Even somewhere inside me, a part of me wants my old me back. Because I'm in this world yet. But brother and sister, remember this. Christianity is a victorious religion. Christianity is overcoming. Christianity, it means that now you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you and you can overcome. Now you have the power of the Holy Spirit and nothing before you can stand. Now you have the power of the Holy Spirit and you can overcome the temptations. You can win. I'm not saying you'll not fall. I fall every day. But I'm saying that you'll not stay there. You stay there if you want. You stay there if you want to stay in the old you, if you want to go back. But I tell you, don't. Verse 4, this hope, this glorious hope is so amazing. You will fall, but while you will fall, you'll be in the best place of crying out to God and say, God, never again. God, if I'm struggling with this, if this old me in this part, if one of these things which we see in verse 5 and other things is trying to put me back and is trying to take my attention from things which are above, you say, never again. Give me the power to overcome. It doesn't matter how long I'll stay on my knees. It doesn't matter how long I'll cry. It doesn't matter how long I'll pray. It doesn't matter how long I'll read and get convinced by your word. But I want to be changed every day in the image of Jesus Christ. You tell to him that you don't want to be an hypocrite. But brothers and sisters, his word challenges. His word makes us see him and he is holy, and see him and he is in glory, and see him and he is perfect, and wants to encourage us, wants to make us grow. The word of God is never to put us down. The word of God, even the hardest correction, even the hardest passages to understand, to eat in a spiritual sense, talking, it's never to put you down. It's never to condemn you. It's to build you up. It's to remind you. It's to encourage you. So the verse 4, we want to stop here and stay here. Christ, who is your life? Christ, who is my life? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you all also will appear with him in glory. In glory. May this be your hope. May this be my hope every day of my life. May this be the glorious hope that we have, that we are waiting for Jesus Christ to come and appear. May we think, desire, pray, read, and speak about the one who died and rose again and is to come, and we'll be in eternity with him. And the third is, and the third thing, and I'll close, is that when you love someone, Don't you want to talk to everybody about that person? Don't you want to tell to everyone, I love this person so much. This person is my life. I love this person. He's amazing. He's wonderful. And if we can do this about a human, if we can do this about our wife, and if we can do this about our sister and brother, how much more we should do it about Jesus Christ? How much more we need to tell to people how wonderful is Jesus Christ? How much more we need to tell to people who we have in our life? How much more we need to tell to people who is our life? How much more we need to talk about Jesus Christ? If He is our life, He will be a living reflection. He will be like living words in us, through us. If He truly is your life, you can't stop talking about Him. You can't. Brother and sister, before we go in prayer, remind to yourself, do you need to give areas of your life to Him more? Do you need to surrender your mind to Him fully? Do you need to surrender your heart and your life fully to Him? So with sincerity, honesty, you will say, Christ is my life. With sincerity, you will say because you spend time with Him. With sincerity, you will say because you want to hear what this Christ who is your life has to tell you. With sincerity, you will say this because you can't stop talking about Him. There is no pausing. I've said to people, there is no 70%, 60% death. There is no 70%, 40% life. And there is nothing as such as 40% or part of it of Christianity. You're a Christian your whole time. You're a Christian full time. If you decide to be a follower of Christ and Christ to be your life, you will be a full time. You don't stop. You don't say now, okay, here I am a teacher, here I am a Christian. Here I am, I don't know, a mechanic, and here I am a Christian. Here I am a lawyer, and here I am a Christian. No, 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 no. You are a Christian your whole time. And better, more, even when you are a teacher. You are there a Christian. Even that part should be of Christ. There you need to be a living testimony in words and in actions about Christ in your place of work. You don't stop when you go home and you turn on the TV and you lay there and you watch with hours television and Christ is nowhere and you continue with internet or something or having time for your friends and doing all these things and after Christ there is nowhere. No. He is our life, brothers and sisters. And He will appear in glory and us together with Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You that Your Word is a life. Your Word changes us. Your Word is from Your heart, and for this reason, it has the power to change our hearts. Lord Jesus, if we say and sing and pray that You are our life, may it be so. May we surrender every thought that we have on our minds to You. May we surrender our desires and our heart and everything that is in us. May we surrender our time, our possessions, everything we have to You. May we give up from the things which are from the old us. May these things in verse 5 have nothing to do with us. May we crucify them and by the power of the Holy Spirit live as a new creature in You. I pray for each person in this room, O God, and for the people also that are elsewhere. I pray also for the people who will hear this word, this sermon in the future. I pray for them to seek You as ever before. I pray for them to not live in the lies of the devil as hypocrites, but to live in the fullness of Christ, who is our life, who is my life? May we think on the things above. May we think about Jesus Christ and the things that are there. May we have the desires that Christ had. I pray, O Lord, that we will not go out and forget about this world, but when the Holy Spirit gives a word, it gives to transform and change. It gives to take it with us and live it every day. So I pray that when we will go out, these words will be in our minds, our hearts, and we'll never forget to look on the things above. Never forget to look on the things which are about Christ. And we will give up from these early things which will pass. In Jesus' name I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit, for the glory of the Father. Amen.